Good morning, City Well again. I don't think it's been that many opportunities that I've been here on a Sunday and seen as many empty chairs. So we hope that those that are on vacation and other places are enjoying that time, and the students that we normally are blessed to have on Sundays are, they passed their exams and that they did well. Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, open us up. Speak, O God, for we are listening. We come believing now that you want each of us to receive. So I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past week, I had several students to approach me about not responding to their friend request. Oh, yes. I looked again on my Facebook and my Instagram, and I have too many friend requests. Too many people that want to follow me, want to be my friend. Now, that sounds a little something, doesn't it? I said, and then I have had some people that defriended me. Friends, I come before you with the sermon title, Ride, I'll Ride or Die with Jesus. How many of y'all, I'll ride or die for Jesus? And you said, some people, do you know what ride or die? Who doesn't know what ride or die mean in here? Okay. Okay, you do not know what ride or die. Okay. I'm going to give our folk a chance to tell you, what does ride or die mean, y'all? Who knows what it means? Oh, yeah, I'm going to put it back on you. Now, folk that didn't raise their hand, they're like, don't call, don't ask me, please. Who wants it? Yes. Malik, come on, tell them what. That's right. Some people call it, it's my best friend, you know. So I'm saying today, can you hear me? Some people say they can't hear me. Oh, she said. Okay, it's okay. So I stand before you saying that I'll ride or die for Jesus. And I came to that sermon title and looking at all that phrase is used in today's world, and also this text, because what was going on during that time when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he was preparing them and talking to them, but it was also about a key word in that text, and that word is friend. Friend, says I call you friends, but also I come to you because I acknowledge that this is about relationships, this is about sacrifice. And so I believe that those people that were a little annoyed with me because I didn't respond to their friend request, they got a different definition of what friend is. So many times we dumb down the true meaning of friendship based on our social media pieces. But when I also look at this text, I go directly to verses 15 and 16, and it makes me think of what it truly means to be a ride or die friend. I think of sacrifice, and I think in terms of verse 13, where it says, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Oh my goodness. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Today, wherever you are, I want you to think about the word friend. And I know for some of us that's a little shaky because You think of friend, a different image may come, or your experience with certain friends may have brought you some negative stuff. But I want you to stay with us today as you think of being a friend of God, as you think of all that this text is going to speak to us today. Jesus was willing to sacrifice. How many of you are willing to sacrifice for people around you today? How many of you are willing to sacrifice for the people around you today? Sacrificing for others is not popular. As a matter of fact, oftentimes people think in terms of, what about me? I've got to get mine. They're not thinking all the way about being a ride or die, because they're trying to make their way through. If you're not getting and giving the sacrifice of people, it may explain why joy may not be at the core of you. And in this text, Jesus speaks about joy, about where that joy comes and where that joy is for us. Well, it's kind of hard to be joyous when you're selfish, when you're not willing to sacrifice anything because it's about your project, your agenda, your job, your relationship, all about you. But sacrificing should bring us joy. Some people love to receive others to sacrifice for them, but rarely are they willing to step into those difficult places and give up or sacrifice their time, their resources. I'm going to ask the question again. Have you sacrificed for others today? Just hold that question for a moment. Who have you sacrificed for today? I'm reminded of one person that I can truly say has sacrificed. And I see their life. I see the impact upon my own life. And it gives me joy. It gives me hope. That person is my son, Winston. You see, 2 years ago, my son sacrificed a lot to come back to North Carolina just to make sure the finances in our home was even and level. After being away for 2 years on his own in an apartment at another college and then taking a half year off to go to Washington, D.C. to an internship, he heard my cry when I said, would you please come back home so we can get through this tough time? Now, that was hard, but my son sacrificed. And not only did he come back home, he was active in ministry with me. Tuesday nights, Sundays, he sacrificed. And many of you know what it may be like to be a PK, right? You don't want to be around your parent when they're out front. It's difficult. But my son would slide in and slide out at Bible study, worship services, and people didn't even know he was my son. He was a new student on campus, but he came in to support, to help, to sacrifice, not just by enrolling at NCCU, but also being there hands-on with me in ministry. And so when I think of that, I know that that must have been difficult for him. But this Saturday coming up, he will be graduating. Amen. Amen. And I'm very proud to say that he'll be accepting an internship as a ministerial intern with the local church. So many of you have truly mentored him and been a part of his call story. So I say thank you to that one person that I know that truly went through a lot to sacrifice for me. The background on this text today is important for us to look at. Because when we look at it, we know that a few chapters before chapter 15 and verses there, Jesus really was showing them what it means to submit. He washed their feet. He submitted himself to his disciples. But not only that, he goes further in this to invite them into a friendship. We also know that Jesus says to them, I want to teach you about relationships. I want you to know what it means to be in relationship with me, but also with others. How many of you struggle with being in relationships with people that you really don't think highly of? Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? But this text for us today, hands raised, I know people want to, but we are called, more hands are being raised. Jesus says to his disciples, first relationship is with God, second with people. I want you to look at this in a few chapters before and text, verses before he talks about vine and branches. And it's so much in this whole text. You could go on and on and on. I don't want to do that. So I want to just zoom in on verses 15 and 16. And I want to do that kind of clearly because I believe that Jesus is saying to us to stay. I believe Jesus said, and as a matter of fact, he uses abide over and over and over and over. But when things are not good in relationships, it's hard for people to stay. When things are going bumpy, it's hard for people to abide. Abide means to stay, to stay, to stay. How many of you have ride or die friends that have stayed with you when it's been rough? When things are not there, when money is not there, job is not there, you may have made a mistake, you may have failed, but they're there. Jesus says to the disciples to stay. I know people today that when the bottom has fallen out, when the money is thin, when they've gotten in trouble, they have still those ride or die friends right there with them. Folk that still hold them up. People that have prayed them through the process of difficulty. Are you a ride or die friend today? Have you left somebody that you wish you could go back to and hold their hand, but you thought it was too difficult? You thought the situation was too explosive that you cut ties? Or are you that one today that's still holding their hand and you're praying that that person will come on along? But it's difficult right now. Well, I want you to hear these words because when I think of this text, I'm reminded that we are to stay. We are to support. We are to love. We are to abide. And I'm going to say that seriously because when you go back and look at several scripture references here, it's clear that abide is important for us. Oh, I know it's difficult because sometimes people don't treat you well when they're going through a tough time. Does anyone know about that? I understand this, but I want to say this is the kind of love that Jesus is speaking to us today. A friend is a friend in good and bad times. A friend is one that loves you when they don't even show love to you. You're to love them back. Jesus said very simply, I want you to see this big picture. I want you to understand this right here. There's a bigger picture here. I know you're going through difficult times. I know this is not exactly what you planned, but I have a bigger plan because my Father has shown this to me. And I want you just to stay. I want you to stick with me. I'm changing this kind of relationship that we have from being slaves to friends. Have you been with someone where the relationship shifted and you didn't know how to accept that? Well, Jesus is trying to say to the disciples, I'm shifting this relationship for a bigger picture that's going to be for our good, for all of us to receive out of this. And that wasn't easy for them. But I want to say to you, Jesus positioned this whole friendship theme for them to point to God. Because friendship is and has to do with God. There are four ways for us to look at how those friends in our life should be ride or die or should stick with us, but they may not. And if you're sitting here today and you admit that you haven't been that, but you may want to rekindle a friendship or a relationship that you let go of or that you cut off, here are these four little things that I believe can help you. The first one, a true ride or die friend, a true friend that stays with you, that abides with you, even through some of the most difficult times. They will bring you to God. I'm serious, but they will bring you to God in that difficult, dark hour. They will show you that word of God. They will share the Christ that they know of. They will truly say, I value you, but I'll put you in check too. I'll challenge you. That's what a ride or die friend will do. So they will bring you to God. I'm reminded of Proverbs 28 verse 23, where it reads, whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than the one who has a flattering tongue. You see, how many of you got friends that don't tell you how bad you are? How many of you got friends that agree with everything you say? Nobody's raising their hand, so I'm going to go over here. How many of you got a friend that agrees with you, tells you you look good in that, knowing that it's all jacked up from the floor? Nobody has those kinds of friends. Okay. A true ride or die will put you in check and say, I know you want to wear that, but that is not right. I know you think that that was good, but that was all wrong. So a ride or die friend will bring you to God. They'll look at God's word. They will challenge you. The second ride or die friend characteristic that I believe is in this room today is a friend that will truly tell you the truth of God. You see, a lot of times when we're going through something and we really want to go in on that situation, we go and call the main person that we know would get us riled up. Nobody's like that in here, right? Nobody will hear your sob story and, yeah, I know. But a true ride or die friend will tell you that is not of God. They will tell you the truth of God in your situation. They will help you come out of all that you're trying to do, knowing that it's not acceptable, it's not okay, and say, that is not what God would have you to do. Oh, yes, they will truly point to you back to God in truth. I'm reminded of a friend of mine that has helped me over the years. And the scripture reference that comes to mind is Proverbs 27, verse 6. And it says, faithful are the wounds of friends. Have you got a friend that wounded you and they still your friend? Those are the best friends. They put you in check and they still walk with you. This scripture touches my heart. It says Proverbs 27 verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, when you got a friend that you ever heard, I cut you? Have you heard that before? Somebody said, I cut you? Nobody, okay. I'm, since you don't know ride or die, I'm scared to say so much. Okay, y'all with me? Okay. A friend that will cut you up and down is a friend that will be with you. They will tell you, I know this is hurting your feelings. I know this may not be what you want to say. So let me put it in this way. I have to recognize who's in here, so I'm pulling back a little bit, okay? The third characteristic is a friend that will pray for you. Oh, so often you're going through, and someone really knows you're going through, to say, well, I'll be praying for you and walk on away. I'll keep you in my prayers. No. Right then, let's pray. That's the kind of friend you want to say, hey, let's pray right now. I hear your cry. Let's go to God together. Now, I get back with you. Oh, y'all, and many that know me, I'm going to pray right then. My son is laughing because I will pray right then. stop right there. Let me get on my knees right now. Let me get my oil. Let me go with you to God right now. Not, I'll be praying for you and go about your business. Stop. That's right or die. Oh, yes, it's not always a convenient time to pray. But that's when you're supposed to pray. Then, right then. And the fourth one that comes to my mind is love of a ride or die friend. They love you. They love you. And this text that Jesus is talking about is not about a romantic love, y'all. It's about that sacrificial love. It's about the agape love. You see, a ride or die friend will love you with that love of God. This is what we need. Some of us don't even know what that's about because we've been so hurt by those kinds of friends that we have become the same kind of friend today. And I know I won't get an amen about that, but it's okay. Because I hope that as you hear this text, you will look at where you are and you will make some conscious decisions about asking yourself the question, what kind of friend am I? What have I failed to do today? What can I do at this point? How many of you truly wish you could have that friend again, that friend back that you let go of? How many of you wish that God would have given you a little more time with that friend that is no longer here on this earth? That friend that you cut off because their drama was too much for you. Today, I believe this text is for us because I have looked at the question of how does Jesus expect us to love others when the instinct is to run away? I mean, I look at the disciples that were with Jesus and many times they got on his last nerve, y'all. You know the stories. Peter, I could name everything you can think of, but Jesus did not leave them. Verse 15 through 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Jesus was saying, "Trust me. Trust me." How many of you really wish you had a ride or die friend, somebody that you truly could reach out to when you could tell them that dark, dark secret? Because it's eating you up. I think in the Bible references of those friends that went to the ends of the earth, you know, in Mark verse chapter 12 verses 1 through chapter 2 verses 1 through 12, those friends that cut the hole in the roof, those were some kind of friends I want. Y'all know that story? There was so much going on and people were everywhere. And this is a friend that was truly in need, a friend that was going through. Paralyzed, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. And not just one friend, but several friends picked him up. Put him on a mat, picked him up, and couldn't get to Jesus. But they went and cut a hole in the roof, dropped him down in front of Jesus. That's the kind of ride or die friend I want. When there ain't no money there, when you can't do a hookup or connect, but you will use everything in your power in the situation for me. The other friends that I'm reminded of are Job's friends. You know, when Job went through all that he went through, wow, those friends. Over and over, we look in the Bible to hear how Jesus loved us. We look at how God called a friend. We look at in Genesis where God says, "Abraham is my friend." That's powerful right there. That's powerful, y'all. But I want to talk a little bit about the Gonzalez family. I want to just say a couple of things about them through the lens of ride or die family, ride or die family, ride or die family, ride or die family. You see, for those of you that don't know, Yvonne reached out to me about NCCU. I really didn't know Yvonne, but he knocked on the door. He truly wanted to bring the God that he knew to NCCU students. And I was in awe because he said, listen, the Latino well and NCCU, let's merge together. Let's come together. I want to connect with the students. And of course, I had never attended his well, didn't know anything about it. I was trying to make sure NCCU well was okay. But truly, he stepped into that area and said, I want to do this. But it wasn't just him. It was the whole family. And many of the students that attended that well came. I'm grateful for that because Yvonne showed what it means to bring the NCCU students to God. The second part that I want to highlight about the Gonzalez family is that during the darkest time and the most difficult time at NCCU, I could always look to my right and they were there. Oh, yeah. 1 year we had 13 deaths and a suicide, a student suicide. You know who was there? Yvonne. Yvonne was there. Yvonne was on campus even when I didn't even know. Not in the name of I'm a pastor. I go to sit. I want to be that friend. I want to be a ride or die for these students that are going through. He opened the door for me. He wanted to do, as I just said, pray for them. He stepped in those spaces. And even in the most difficult time when Alton Sterling died, y'all remember that? Oh, Jesus. Y'all remember the day that he died? Y'all know who Alton Sterling is. Let me make sure who I'm talking to. Though, who does not know? Okay, thank you. Alton Sterling was killed by police. Who wants to add more? Black male. Who wants to add to the story? Y'all know about that, right? During that period when all of this that was going on about Black males being killed. I mean, a heightened sensitivity. We had a town hall meeting on our campus. We wanted to bring the police in. And we wanted to really talk about white community not acknowledging that Black lives matter. That Black males were getting killed. Black males were being stopped. The list goes on and on and on. We had a town meeting on campus in the student union. And when that town meeting started, I looked up who was there. Christina and Yvonne. I think Christina was the only white person there. But their presence said so much about the God that they stood for. The God that they wanted others to know, loved them. I also want to just highlight when we had the many NCCU wells, Christina and Marisol and Mitzi would bring food, but Mitzi would also want to make sure that she led the icebreakers to ensure that the students felt welcome, to share her story of who Jesus is with them. Those are things that I will hold dear to my heart. But one thing that I always keep closer is how every time they came to the NCCU well, they made sure that certain people were not left out. You see, Christina would call and say, I'm bringing tequila. I want to make sure that you can hold off until I pick up tequila because I've got to go some ways to get her. Those are extra steps to make sure that the friend that they had could get in and be a part of the bigger story. I think of all those things and I'm excited because I know that, yes, they will be leaving, but they will be sharing that with a new family. Today, wherever you are, I want to say, God is truly the best friend that you could ever have. God is truly the best friend that you could ever have. Some of us have been hurt by the friends on this earth, But God's friendship is available to us. You see, as a matter of fact, God made that first move to be in relationship with us. Oh, yes. And all you have to do in response to that first move is just to respond. That invitation was extended. You don't have to beg and say, would you be my friend? How do I do this? You just have to be you. I was raised growing up to call on Jesus. I was raised by a family that believed that God was a provisional God, that my needs would be met. It wasn't until I became an adult and stepped out to really know that it's beyond just do it. I need you, God, I need you. This text today is about relationships. As an adult, it is about me being intimate in my time with God. It's about me looking at my relationship with God. Me looking at my relationship with others that God has brought in my life. It's about me really examining the sacrifice that Jesus made. The sacrifice that God made to give us his son. It's an opportunity for all of us today to truly look at this. I know it's a lot going on, but the face-to-face relationship that we are to have with each other in this Citywell Church, in our local communities, is the same face-to-face relationship that we're to have with God. How many of you can say you truly have that face-to-face relationship with God today? You might know to call God because you're in need, but what about, I want to sit in your word. I want to sit and hear you speak to me. I want to get to know you. I want to really be intimate. I want to be in this kind of relationship that you're seeing. A friend. We were called friends before we were called Christians, y'all. God initiated that relationship. And God says to the disciples in this text that there's a greater love that he wants us to look at. Greater love. But I also want to remind you today that in this text, there are two things that Jesus is saying that's a requirement of us. And I'm not going to get that twisted. Because we have to remember obedience. And Jesus says to the disciples, obey. Obey. Many of us, we know what is right. We know what God has called us to do, but we find it too difficult to respond. But I'm reminding you of this text and calling you back to that requirement. We're loved, we're friends, but we also are required to obey what God says. That's how you get that intimacy. Because if you look at God's word and it's clear that this is what you're supposed to be doing, that intimacy begins. But then there's a second part of this requirement that Jesus calls his disciples to in this text. And it's faithfulness. Some of us don't know what that means because we cut people off as soon as they say the wrong thing to us. We have an attitude in here about certain things. I'm going to keep it real, y'all. All of this belongs to God. Everything in Citywell. And some of us have forgotten that. But I'm reminding you today, faithfulness to God, not your area of ministry that you work in this church, not the things that you do all the time, it belongs to God. Take your hands off of it if you think it's yours. Serve God. Are you a ride or die? Are you sacrificing? Who do you call your friend? Let me put that question out there. Who are the circle of friends that you call? How many of you can name three friends right now? How many of you can name three good friends that if it was truly a difficult situation, You could call them. Okay, let me reverse that. How many of you will be called as a friend if somebody else is in a difficult situation? Okay. Because see, it goes both ways right there. Sometimes we want our projects, our stuff, and the things that we want to be a major concern for others. But we are too busy. Oh, I'll get back with you. Oh, I'll call you. But when it's our stuff, we want to push it forward. I'm asking this because it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to look at what Jesus did for us. And we are to look at, are we doing the same thing? How many of you got some of the same friends you had, although your life has changed and you haven't cut them loose, but you know you should cut them loose? Come on. Oh, no, y'all don't want to hear that part. Because you don't want to hurt people's feelings. But sometimes when you look at this text, even before, there's some pruning. There's some cutting. I'm not trying to go there, but I love that part. I love that part. Brothers and sisters, I am excited because I am here today to say, look at what kind of friend you are. And if I've broken some toes or stepped on some toes, this might be my last sermon. Really, this might be my last sermon. So I'm sincere about us being true people that we say we are, especially when it comes to this church that's stepping forward in a community where it is difficult. How many of you truly are the friend of God that you say you are? How many of you want more of God? How many of you want to be more of that friend, but you don't know how because you've been hurt or because you haven't been taught? You don't even have those circles of people that have exhibited that to you. Let's be honest about that. This is not easy stuff, y'all. Relationships are the hardest things, not just with marriages or romantic. It is a hard thing. But through the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. I love when we have Holy Communion. It says, Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. Y'all, that's deep. That's big right there. How many of you can love somebody when they really get on your last nerve? Or they have done so much to you. No, you just do like this. You cut them off, right? You may not cut them off physically, but mentally, emotionally, you have cut them off. Nobody understands that part. But I'm here today to remind you. We know we can't duplicate the ultimate expression of Christ's love. We can't, because we know what happened. We know that Christ died. Christ died for us. But what we can do every day is love each other. Love each other. And act this out as if we are aware of the true sacrifice that Christ did for us. And I really mean that because it isn't easy. And I'm going to be honest, church folk are the hardest folk to try to love. Church folk are the hardest folk to try to love. A stranger on the street will welcome you. And then if they know that you're a Christian, the light goes off. Because somewhere along the way, they've been hurt by church people. And church people hurt other church people. But this text for us is important for us to hold on to. You know why? Because I believe not only is it Jesus' command, but it's also an opportunity for us to bring this to love. To bring us to love each other and to show that Christ first loved us and we are to love even those that are difficult. I want to pray for you today. And the reason why I want to pray is because I believe that there's truly a spirit of transformation that's taking place even in this message. I know it has been for me. But I believe that even in City Well and even in your jobs, even in your marriages, even in some of the relationships in your community, there are some broken pieces there. You've cut people off. You haven't been that friend that you know you want to be. And I want to pray a prayer of hope in your life that as you leave here, you will think through the kind of friend that you say you are. You'll look in the mirror and you'll be honest. And you'll be willing to step into action in some way or another. So if this is not you, but you know somebody, or even you are in a relationship with somebody that has cut somebody off, and you're that third wheel, you're still friends with them, and you're trying to pull them back together. Do y'all know about that? No. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a difficult one, Weston. You know why it's difficult? Because sometimes you are a part of a triangle where that friendship has been broken, but you're still in friends. You're still friends with the person that, y'all know what I'm talking about. So I want to pray this prayer of hope for all of us and for the larger church. Because some of us, even in our denomination, are struggling with all that is about to take place over the next year. Oh, yeah. And it's gonna let us know where we stand as a family. So if you can just sit still, and if you have a friend with you or a partner with you, grab their hand. Just grab their hand. If you're alone, try to connect with somebody, because we want relationships to be restored. We want true love of God to be at the core of all that we do and say. Let us pray. Holy God, we know that you called us here today. We know that this text was not placed here on this Sunday just because. You did this. You know each of us. And you model what it means to truly love sacrificially by allowing us to know that you gave your son. The biggest example of love for us. And although we can't even understand it truly and sincerely in our hearts, we know we are called to live out what it means to love, that agape love. So help us today as we reflect on what you did and how we are to love too. Help us today as we hold the hand of our neighbor, our partners, our husbands, our wives, our sisters, our brothers. Help us to hold this hand with sincerity, to truly love, to truly pray for, to truly show them you. I pray, God, that the fear that creeps in us when we're stepping into uncharted territories, the fear that comes in when we've been hurt before, the fear that knocks at the door when pain is still there, that fear is here. It's here today. But we cast it down in the name of Jesus. We pray that you, the Almighty One, will release us of that fear. And give us what we need to step into those conversations about restoring relationships. Give us your word as a reference of hope on how we are to live in a community that has hurt us, in places where marriages are dissolved, where mothers and fathers no longer talk, where sisters and brothers are still fighting, where people are just hating on each other. Help us today not to come to this service to get something that's on the outside, but put it in the inside of us, that when we leave here, we'll take it with us. We'll speak it. We'll act upon it. Jesus, hear our prayer today. Jesus, receive us and help us to truly walk this out. Thank you for never leaving us. Thank you for showing us by example what it means to sacrifice, and help us, each of us, by the sound of my voice, each of us be the friend that we're called to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.